Dan Zangrilli brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, Dr. Zangrilli, thank you for joining us. Dan is in studio right now. Andrew Filippone said a Pirate source he was discussing this trade with, which was Henry Davis, Mike Burrows, and Luis Ortiz, who's who is going to be on the mound here today momentarily. For who from the Marlins? Who are the two players?
Jazz Chisholm, Tanner Scott.
Tanner Scott. Tanner Scott, relief pitcher, and Chisholm, an outfielder, who has shown some serious flashes in his first 3 or 4 years in the league and would be a very interesting player. I wouldn't do the deal. I would remain patient with Hank Davis, at least in terms of this deal. I'm not saying I wouldn't trade him at all. Paul Zeiss would make the trade in a second. He would drive Henry Davis to Miami. City Limits is with me. Where do you stand on all this, Dan? The floor is yours, and I hope you're well.
So, and you as well. Great to be with you again, Joe, with or without my hat on. I'm going to go with no because of the potential I haven't run out completely on Henry Davis.
Mm.
But it's an intriguing deal that I would, I guess, summarize as low risk, low reward for the Pirates as Brian Reynolds extends his hit streak to 24 games. Is that what it is right now?
23.
Yeah.
He just singled.
Right up the middle.
This is
incredible.
And I think
on the first pitch.
Go ahead.
It's low risk, low reward for the Pirates, high risk, high reward for the Marlins. So I think you're going to get a very good outfielder with contractual control, but it's he of the 750 OPS. Appreciably better than anything that they have. I totally concede that. Being able to add a really nice arm in the back end of your bullpen, or maybe even does he come in as a seventh or eighth inning reliever here in Pittsburgh? I don't know, in Scott. That's what they need. So you do check the boxes of areas of need with control. So that's the good part. But I think that there is some high upside in the Henry Davis hit tool if he could ever figure this thing out. They've done a disservice by him, I think, developmentally. They rushed him to the big leagues. They've probably tinkered with the swing, and it's obviously had a negative impact. I think that they've mishandled him from the defensive side of things. They bring him up. He's a right fielder, learning a new position. He's kind of a DH. And then you have some significant injury to catcher. He puts in all this time in the offseason to become appreciably better, but not good enough, I think, to be an everyday big league catcher. So depends on if we're doing this for this year or for the future. I'm gonna pull the trigger and go yes. I would make the move if I have to pick one. Because
then you're with Paul in the end.
I am, but hesitantly. This could eventually blow up and be a very, very poor trade for the Pirates if you do it. They could really look bad long term because Burrow's coming off injury. I get it, but power arm, Ortiz. There's obviously plenty of arm talent there. And he's still relatively young, could be a power arm if somebody correctly unlocks his ability. And then, goodness, I mean, if somebody fixes Davis, that's a 1-1 bat.
Paul?
That could look very, very bad.
For clarification's sake, a tweeter said he would drive Henry Davis to
Oh, I thought you said you'd
Miami
join him.
And back. And bring the other guys back, and that I said I would do the deal because, and it was part of a larger discussion. I believe they should try and use Henry Davis as a chip because there probably are some general managers out there that see the quote unquote high end and still think he's young enough that they might be, you know, getting, you know, and they might be willing to give you something more. But if you're asking me, does that deal bring back a guy who, looking at Chisholm's numbers, 249, 310, 449 with a 760 OPS. That's his career numbers.
Yep.
This year he's 264, 330, 438 with a 768 OPS. He's been more than a one-run WAR player his entire career. His 10 home runs. I got to look at that and say that makes the Pirates better in an area they need to be better.
It does. I mean, it does.
And then you add a bullpen arm, which this team desperately needs. I mean, that's the kind of deal. You've addressed two pressing needs with two good, not great, but two good major league players. I'm okay with it.
Low risk, low reward, high risk, high reward. That's how it is for both sides. I would like to really put me over the edge and make this deal. I want a top 10 prospect from the Marlins as well to sweeten the pot. Three pieces for three pieces. I think that there's a little more the Pirates could ask for, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a top five guy. It could be a high risk flip of the coin, something that could eventually pan out. That would make me feel much better about it, because listen, you're also when you're trading players, you're also trading contracts. There's a ton of control on Luis Ortiz, even if he's a bullpen arm. There's value there, and then I think they've gone about it entirely wrong with Henry Davis. I would make him a right fielder. I would use that plus arm there. I would try to develop the hit tool, and I'm not sure how much of the putting everything into the I got to be a better catcher this offseason may have been a drag on his offense.
Yeah, I disagreed with that tack from the beginning, mostly because they obviously didn't believe in it, because they never used him last year when the games didn't mean anything and they had a chance to run him out there and apprentice for a little while. Well, what were they doing?
He was very, very bad last year, and he's gotten significantly better in the offseason. And what I'm saying, over that time, was it just a situation where he went all in on trying to become a better receiver, better catch and throw guy,
right,
and then he forgot essentially, oh, wait, your real value, what you're eventually going to be paid to do is hit. And I think it's really hard to be a two-way guy as a catcher. And what I mean by that is there are very few talented offensive catchers in the game, because the demands, which and the first priority and item A on your job description is to handle your pitching staff and to be very valuable behind the plate.
Yeah.
So much so in game planning and the time and the hours that you got to put in, it's almost impossible to be an above league average offensive player and then do your defensive job correctly and well. So I think that when you look at Davis, why try to split this baby into two and serve a couple masters here? You've got to just make this guy a right fielder, develop the hit tool, extrapolate all value you can out of there, because even whatever he becomes, if it's just a slightly below average defensive catcher, that's his ceiling. What's the point? The mileage, the beating that he's going to take back there, that's going to be a drag offensively. Put him in the outfield. He's got a plus arm. Let him learn to become a serviceable outfielder and develop the hit tool. Have him hit fifth.
Well, how long is all that going to take?
It shouldn't take very long, and it may have not. We may have not gotten the Henry Davis that we've gotten this year if it weren't for the serious attrition and the injuries that they've sustained. The Andy Rodriguez thing. I mean, what would they have done if Andy Rodriguez was healthy? He would have been catcher one, right?
But here's the other thing. Henry Davis has been a guy that's had a bunch of injuries himself.
Sure.
And now he's injured again. That's my point.
That's why you put him in right field.
That's
and how did he get the injury?
Him.
How did he get the injury?
That's
catching.
Why you trade him. The guy's hurt all the time.
Dan, I have some clips to play for you.
Okay.
Hold up. And he's not good.
And he's not good.
Right now? Sure,
he's
I get
not
that.
Good.
Ever?
I mean, he's been good, I guess, in the minors a little bit. But for the most part, he hasn't been good in the majors. He's not a good catcher. You're jamming him in a position he's not probably going to be very good in, right field or first base. And he's hurt all the time. What am I missing when I say, if you can find some general manager that's going to give you a good piece for him, go make the deal.
I think
go ahead.
I think what you're missing is that there's a big time hit tool there that I don't think has been properly developed or handled over the course of his career. Rushed to the big leagues, then thrown into a position that he's unfamiliar with without doing it the proper way. Make the transition in the offseason, put in some serious work in spring training. No, here's a glove, go play right field. That was last year. And when he did that, he showed that this guy's on the upswing and there's some serious potential. Then this offseason comes, you say, oh, well, you've got to be our first catcher. And of course, he put in all of that time and he invested so much in becoming a serviceable catcher that I think that it had an unbelievable drag on his offensive production. I think what you need to do is just settle on something for the guy, give him a proper, clear job description of what you need from him, and I think that they could unlock that, and he realizes his potential. It's hard to find a plus power bat, and that is what he is. And we're sitting here lamenting that the Pirates need more offense. I think you're just giving away, what, 4 years more or 5 years more of control of a potential plus bat?
I haven't seen enough. Do I have some severe questions? I have sure. Big questions about him, but I think when you say, what are you missing, Paul, to me it's the fact that a mere 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, every team in baseball would have taken this guy in the top three of the draft.
Yep.
The Pirates took him one. He's not always hurt. He has a concussion at the moment. His AAA numbers, he only has 129 at-bats at AAA.
Right. They've done disservice.
He's a 326 hitter with 1,094 OPS, and he's only had 300 major league at-bats. So I think that there are lots of teams out there that would look at him and say, wait a second, we would have taken this guy first, second, or third overall, 700 days ago. And since then, he's crushed the ball at AAA, and he plays for the Pirates. We'll do a better job developing him than they did. I think that's what.
Well, then that you just made the case for me, Joe, why you trade him.
Yeah.
Let somebody else bet on his potential.
Maybe.
And that's if it can bring you back somebody can help you win right now, I'm okay with it. If Henry Davis becomes Johnny Bench 2 years from now or 3 years from now, it's not relevant.
Low risk, low reward for the Pirates. High risk, high reward for the Marlins.
Well, what about Chisholm? He's not regarded as a guy who could take off. He's still only 26. He had a great year, or a very good year, a couple of years ago. He had an 860 OPS. Is he not a guy that could still?
I think he is what he is. I think he's
okay.
You know, I think he's going to be good for you. I don't think he's going to be great. I don't think that there's this huge upside. I think the Pirates will get serviceable production, mm-hmm. and they make this move. If it's just a 2-for-3 guys, they're taking the safe way out.
Right.
And the guys that they're giving away, one coming off Tommy John, the other has been a tweener, relief pitcher, maybe number 5 starter, high upside, Henry Davis, high upside. They're certainly trading away upside. And if that upside hits, oh my gosh, that's going to look bad. That's why I'm inclined, because of the arm talent of two controllable pitchers, and then the plus power bat that lies deep buried beneath the surface with Henry Davis, that's why I'm inclined to get a minor league player in return. Or maybe it's just a quad A depth starter, something along those lines. I would love just one more chip in that Chisholm-Scott tandem.
Well, let me play for you a couple of clips here, as this is sort of with in the same context here of what we're talking about. And that is Shelty with us yesterday. And the fact, I don't think it's an opinion. I think it's a fact that there is not one hitter, at least not who has touched the major leagues, who is better right now because of Andy Haynes. It seems to me almost, if not every single one of the young hitters around here has regressed. So it seemed like an obvious question for Shelty, especially this was coming off a disastrous game the other day and a disastrous series for the most part against Tampa, 2 of the 3 games. What's the defense of Andy Haynes? Listen to this back and forth here, Dan, and then we'll get your take.
Well, I think our younger hitters have to progress. That's true. I mean, I think we're seeing not only with the Pirates, but throughout the game, young players are struggling right now. And, you know, we have to continue to figure out how that translates to being better. I mean, our offense needs to be better. I mean, we're working on it, but you know, I don't honestly think it's fair to cast the blame on one single person for that.
Why? Because that's it. I mean, that's his job description, is to make hitters better.
Yeah, and some of it, I mean, comes on the players too. We have to continue to make adjustments. We have to continue to work on things. And again, I mean, it's not just the Pirates where we're seeing young hitters struggle. I know it's, you know, the conversation because we're talking about the Pirates, but throughout the league, I think we're trying to figure out why guys, when they come from AAA to the big leagues, are having issues.
Dan?
Boy, there's a lot to unpack there. I the part where he kind of puts it on the player sounds to me maybe like there's some internal frustration. And we know all too well, you know, Key Brian Hayes is somebody that has sought help elsewhere,
yeah,
outside of the major league level, and even Rowdy Tellez to a certain extent. And really, that's not headline news. I think every player, hitter and pitcher, has their own savant or guru that they train with in the offseason that they trust. And there's a lot of conflicting information as to how you go about getting better. And then the Pirates internally have their own ideas. And I think there's a lot of headbutting. And that's been going on for, I'd say, it's been more pervasive the last decade or so.
Mm.
So when Derek Shelton says maybe it's on the player, and this is just me speculating, could it be conversations of, hey, this is how we think that you could get better? Players obviously want to own their own career because many, frankly, have been ruined by a changing of the winds type of hitting philosophy, whether that's, you know, like in the Clint Hurdle regime, he changed hitting instructors almost yearly. Look at the turnover during his tenure. He probably went through, what, 5-6 hitting instructors? So I think that that's what we struggle with, not only in Pittsburgh, but baseball-wide. So Derek Shelton, Andy Haynes may have these reasons that they think that they can make guys better. They either, A, may not listen, or may revert back to some older habits or do things that they don't want them to do. So that's why I think there's what I hear is a bit of finger pointing. At the end of the day, you're employed, Andy Haynes is, to figure out a way to make guys better offensively. And however you got to do that, whether that is work with those individual hitting instructors, come to common ground, or reach that player and meet him where he's at, that's all on you. And that's the job description. I don't say that it's an easy job, but at the end of the day, you are the offensive coordinator. You have to coordinate somehow, some way, offense. And if you don't do that, whether it's easy or it's hard or somewhere in between, those are the breaks. Mm. Tough.
Well, that's part of the whole theory, though, isn't it? Of all this stuff. It's just like Todd Reirden with the power play. And we can sit here all day and say, you know, these guys are going to do what they're going to do, but you're the coach. Someone's got to take the fall. And then to me, Andy Haynes, this isn't a small body of work now.
Right.
So that's why I disagree completely with the idea that somehow, well, it's a team thing. I honestly don't believe that.
Well, especially here, what's most damning is that Hayes and Sawinski in particular, and I think that, right, these are the two guys that have been the biggest drag on the Pirates offense. Them doing something similar to what they've already done, that's the issue. They've already done good things at the big league level. They've shown that they can be productive big league hitters. And somehow they've gotten worse under your watch. And there's not many success stories that you have that you could counter the justification for you to be on this staff and continue on in that role. Not only has nobody gotten better, Joe, you've had some guys that have shown that they could be really important parts. They've gotten worse.
I heard Pony asked Noah Hiles this, and Noah didn't have a whole lot on the history between Shelton and Haynes. Do they go way back? Are they close friends?
I think there's a past relationship there from what I understand. But to say how chummy they are. I don't know. I'm not privy to that. But I do think Derek Shelton, to a fault, is loyal. And I'm not sure that he experienced in his coaching career, having been in similar situations, more so as a hitting guy, experienced loyalty during his ascent to his position now. And maybe just based on kind of what I've heard about the guy and what I'm picking up is that if he may have made a pact with him, say, if I ever get to that place where I'm in position, I'm going to be far more loyal and give far more runway to my guys than I ever received, because this is what I learned and personally experienced coming up through the ranks. Because if you look at Shelton and say what you want about him as a manager, a game tactician, but from a resume perspective, I mean, he's been everywhere, he's done everything, he's climbed the ladder, he's got a unique and eclectic set of skills that you would have otherwise said, yeah, this guy is absolutely qualified and deserving of a big league manager position. But then you look at Stephen Vogt, who's managing the best team with the Cleveland Guardians in baseball right now. He literally walked off the field and into a dugout, and here he sits as maybe the best hire, shrewd, under-the-radar hire by Cleveland.
Interesting. It really is.
Yeah.
Dan, thank you for joining us for this time.
It's great to be with you as always. And it appears as if you've showered, which is always a wonderful thing.
We had the whole controversy last week.
Yes, I remember.
Jack Sawinski just drove in a run. Do you believe in miracles?
Yes! Where's Al Michaels when you need him?
Thank you, Dan.
Bye now.
Paul, we have Tex in the city. You excited for
people
this?
People on Twitter get excited when Rowdy Tellez hits a single.
Rowdy Tellez is having one of the best months in Major League Baseball.
He's not driving the ball out of the park, which is what he's supposed to do. He's a punch and Judy hitter now. He's fat and can't run.
Well, hey.
Wow.
Yesterday, Paul.
He stole a base.
He stole a base.
Wheels Tellez.
I'm just saying.
Wheels Tellez. He has a 907 OPS.
He was brought here to drive the ball and hit home runs and drive people in.
He has 11 RBIs this month.
Wonderful.
I'm very angry at Paul for his Rowdy Tellez hate. I've jumped on the Rowdy bandwagon myself.
I'm glad.
In fact, I'm driving the damn thing.
You are?
Yeah, I got a conductor's hat and everything.
How much does a ticket cost?
$550 round trip. Would you like to come on?
No.
City Limits, you're on the Rowdy bandwagon, no?
I'm thinking about jumping aboard.
Yeah. Come on aboard. All aboard.
I still would rather have a different train.
Wonderful.
But I'm thinking about jumping aboard.
I hope he hits a homer today.
So do I.
All right, Paul.
He's a punch and Judy hitter.
Tex in the City coming up. He's a punch and Rowdy hitter. Tex in the City coming up next. Do, 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 do. Ryan Reynolds just snapped on a strikeout. Pirates leading 1-0. Is this Ashcraft's brother pitching for the Reds? There couldn't be that many Ashcrafts out there.
Graham
are there?
Ashcraft.
Is he a member of the Ashcraft family? Limits?
That's what I'm looking up.
He's going to look that up, Paul. I'll tell.
Go.
Huh?
There we go.
Turn on your mic.
There we go. Look it up.
O'Neill Cruz at the plate. Boy, it'd be great just to see him get red hot for about a month and just carry the team.
Like Reynolds has done recently?
Yeah, can you imagine two guys in the same lineup doing that? Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab, up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. High 86 today, 60% chance of rain tonight. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. And, of course, the 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Even the dialogue that we've had today, me and you and Limits and Zangrilli, can you imagine if everybody's free to speak their mind, and I'm assuming they are over at the Pirates, the variety of opinions you might have on Henry Davis?
Absolutely. Especially like some of the scouts, some of the people that, you know, have been told that they're probably, that Charrington's word is he's got final say, so you don't cross him, you know?
Yeah.
What if you're one of these scouts who's not high on Henry Davis? And you're in a room just like that. That would be interesting. Absolutely.
I want to go back and look at some of the scouting reports on him going into the draft and see if there were there had to have been some naysayers, what they said at the time. I'd be curious. Anyway, it's time for Text in the City. And I believe I've fulfilled all my obligations to you, Limitless Wonder, haven't I?
That's correct.
Then why don't we go? You read them, we rank them 1 to 10. I should say we rate them 1 to 10. Paul and I. Go ahead.
Filipponi sources are about as good as Trump's attorneys. You're giving three players up for two, and only one bats 264, and the other is Carmen Majewski 2.0.
What?
That's a 10.
Yeah, I don't even hear the second part. The first part's an 11.
The other is Carmen Majewski 2.0, he said, the texter.
Oh.
While somebody says Jazz Chisholm is a legit bat, a superstar outfielder.
A superstar outfielder? What?
I would trade for the former cover athlete of MLB The Show in a heartbeat, which he was.
He was a big deal when he first came up, but, I mean, he's been good, slightly above average, I would say. Right? Maybe?
Yeah, a decent player. Has superstar potential and has not even gotten close. Hasn't been able to put everything together. A lot of strikeouts, too.
Yeah. I like the what did he say? Filipponi sources are about as good as Trump's attorneys. Oh, that was funny.
That was incredible. All right, next.
If poor hitting is an industry-wide problem we're trying to figure out, according to Shelton, why are Andujar, Carlos Santana, Starling Marte, and Jacob Stallings all hitting above MLB average for OPS while the Pirates flail around?
Flail around. That's a good question, too. Listen, I appreciate Shelty's willingness, you know, to answer these questions directly and calmly, but just because you answer it directly doesn't mean you have a good answer. And I'm not sure it looks great when you're being asked about your team's horrendous offense and how none of the young hitters have gotten better under your hitting coach, and to point out, yeah, well, you know what? It's down around baseball. What does that have to do with where you rank in baseball? And you're in the bottom five or six in every significant category.
Control what you can control, not what's going on with others.
Yeah, it sounds like excuse making, Paul. And not a great look on that answer.
But also the other part of it is, I mean, I kind of get it that he's taking up for his guy.
Yeah.
At least in his defense, he is saying, well, it's more than one man or whatever, right? Like he's saying
I think for me, the answer I'd really like to hear is, well, I don't know if there's a good answer for defending Andy Haynes.
There isn't.
There really isn't. No, all their really young hitters have gotten worse, and he has to know that.
But I think part of it is, don't you think part of it is just him being a coach taking up for...
Well, maybe it could be then, maybe the best answer for Shelty would be, hey, put some of that on me, too. I'm a former hitting instructor, and I hired Andy Haynes, and I've stuck by him.
Did he do that? I mean, he basically said it's more than one guy. It's a team of us that are responsible.
To me, that's a little different than saying, why don't you put it on me? Go ahead and put it on me.
Newt in Aspenwall, please.
I love the name Newt. My grandparents had friends in Long Island named Newt and Nevy. Wonderful people.
Please refer to him as Michael DFA Taylor or Michael F. Taylor and cut him. Can't hit, can't draw walks, can't steal, only strikes out, now can't even catch.
Michael DFA Taylor is a 10 out of 10.
Well, last night, Colin Dunlap had a funny one, said, I think I'm ready to see what Michael B. Taylor can do.
That's good. That's really good. Wait a second. All right, so let's choose here. IT can vote as well. We have Michael B. Taylor, Michael DFA Taylor, or
Michael F. Taylor.
Michael F. Taylor. That's pretty good, too.
He doesn't have an A.
Paul, which one do you vote for if you could choose only one?
I like Michael DFA Taylor.
I do,
that.
Too. Yeah. IT? I like
He likes Michael F.
Michael F. Michael is F. pretty good. Yeah. All right, next.
One final one. Christian,
this is the best day ever for Texts in the City.
It's a good day.
It's a really good day.
Christian from Monaca says, this show always seems to one-up itself. Today it's Kabali asking us not to want to kiss him.
That was pretty good, too. Cavalli was off the rails today, was he not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was still
He pulled a Ron by saying the coaches see him every day. What, do you want me to have an opinion? Yes. Yes, we do.
Well, again, I thought that was funny. Like, he was like, well, what do you think? What, we're supposed to have opinion? Yeah, that's what we do. Isn't that our business?
Yes. Shall I call you Ron, Dr. Dick? What should we go with here?
You can call me Ron.
Right.
Yeah, I forgot.
I think
Paul,
we should play that commercial again one more time. Can you play that? Can you play the
Yeah, why don't we end with that? We'll say goodnight. And this was Paul on New Flow earlier, and it came right after, believe it or not, a Dr. Dick reference. Ron Dick, the sports marketing professor from Duquesne, who's actually been on the show, and it all seemed to fit together. All right, Paul, you have a new flow. Speaking of all the topics at hand.
Speaking of doctor.
Yeah, let's go.
Wait.
Shall I call you Ron, Dr. Dick? What should we go with here?
You can call me Ron.
This is Paul Zeiss. New Flow Men's Health has incredible success in treating men with erectile dysfunction. Oh. Let me try this again. In fact, I think the people at New Flow should hire Dr. Dick. Anyway, New Flow Men's Health has had incredible success in treating men with erectile dysfunction. For a limited time, New Flow is offering exclusive pricing for significant savings. Haven't you suffered long enough? No pills, no injections, no games. Pittsburgh guys helping Pittsburgh guys. Call call 412-784-9000. That's 412-784-9000.